the Executive Vice President Emeritus of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Wood.
Have a letter which came out of the journals of John Wesley, the founder of Methodism. The letter was written over 250 years ago. And in this letter, a young man was asking him a question. He said, "Mr. Wesley, who's qualified to be a spiritual leader such as a preacher?" One sentence in it said this: "Spiritual leaders know continuing religious experience, growing in crisis and from crisis to crisis." In Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, it describes it this way: "An emotionally significant event or radical change of status in a person's life, a decisive moment." God is in the business of changing people. Crisis is one of the major ways that God changes us.
Did you know that God uses a crisis in the life of the Christian as an instrument for good? Taking his text from Genesis chapter 12, Dr. Wood shows how God used a series of crises in the life of Abraham to teach him some valuable lessons of faith. Here now with today's message is the Executive Vice President Emeritus of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Wood.
I want to talk to you this morning about the subject, God's College of Crisis. Turn with me, please, to Genesis 12. As I quickly go through this message, I'm just going to hit the highlights. For if God captures your attention with these passages as he's captured my attention, you'll continue to study this. But you'll learn at your age in life that you're going to face many crises, many life-changing decisions. God allows some, he arranges some, but he knows about all of them. And what you do in these times of crisis will determine how well you serve God. Listen to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 4. "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I'll make of thee a great nation. I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in thee." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Here's our introduction to Abraham, the man that became father of our faith. Here's the first experience we're told about in his life. And this is Abraham's crisis with reference to his family and his faith. A time of crisis when a decision has to be made. God comes to him and says, "Abraham, I have something planned for your life. Somewhere I want you to go, something I want you to do. Leave in the morning, I'll tell you when you get there." That takes faith. That takes a lot of faith. But you know, what God is teaching him through this crisis is the answer to this question. Did he love God more than country or kindred? You know what happened in this particular story. You know how it ended up. The scripture tells us that he departed from Haran and he took Lot with him. But the Bible says that he should leave his father's house and he should leave his kindred in this verse 1. He is taking his wife, but this is one flesh principle. Now, why did Abraham choose to take Lot? Well, the scripture tells us in the New Testament, Matthew 10:37, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Abraham's response in this was to go, but not all at once, not in a hurry. He left Haran. You know why? Because his father was ill. And he stayed 3 years and tended to his father. And this decision is going to become very significant later in the story of the life of this man, Abraham. He did what God asked him to do, but he delayed in doing that. And then in Genesis 11:31, we're told about his response. Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran, the son's son, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. But they came unto Haran and dwelt there. Abraham had no children, and heritage was greatly important to these people as it is to us today. And God has promised to bless him and make of him a great nation. And he's thinking, but I don't have anybody to leave all this to. So as was often the custom that day, if a man went childless, he would choose one of his brother's children or his sister's children, a nephew. So he took this nephew with him. This is his reasoning. I need an heir. I'm going to do what God asked me to do, but I need an heir. And so he chose to take Lot. You see, this is a big crisis. And you see, he made the decision slowly. And he added a little something to it in his lack of faith that he would have children. Now, when Abram got to the borders of Canaan, God sent another crisis to it. It's found in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 10. Here's what it says. There was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Abraham's crisis with reference to his food. Now, God's testing the sufficiency of his faith. Did he believe that if he did God's will, God would take care of him? Did he believe the essential provisions of life would be there? Did he believe food would be there? Well, he got to the borders of Canaan and the word spread, there's a famine, there's no food here. There are at least 15 famines recorded in the Old Testament. Find a lot of stories about them in Egyptian history. But you know, the Bible said when he got there, there was a famine. Something interesting about when he got there, it was 3 years later than it should have been when he arrived. Maybe there wasn't a famine 3 years earlier. But you see, God sent this famine to test Abram's faith. God sends crises into our lives for two primary reasons. One, to test us, to see what decisions we'll make, to see what direction we take. Number two, to teach us, for when we make a bad decision, it's not too long before it shows up in our lives. And we see that we must do something else. Famine in food. Some of you may have a famine in the Word of God. You may have a famine in the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's only because you've made bad decisions. And those bad decisions create crises. And they call for more decisions and more change of direction. When it came to Abraham's crisis with reference to food, just plain old everyday food, he failed. He said, God said, I'm going to send you over into this land, but there's a famine in that land, so things look pretty good in Egypt. There's plenty down there. People are wealthy down there. I think that I'll take a little deviation in my trip and I'll go down to Egypt. What a terrible decision in a time of crisis. It's there that he picked up a handmaiden, Hagar. It's there that he got wealthy with cattle. It's there that he lied about his wife. All of his problems began when he made this decision with reference to his food. Could God feed him? Could God take care of him? I see missionaries all the time in difficult circumstances and situations, financially and taking care of their families. And yet, God takes care of those that are in His will. He always takes care of them. Well, from this crisis with his faith and family and the crisis to his food comes Abraham's crisis with reference to his fellowship. I think this is fascinating and interesting. Would he yield to his younger brother? Let me read you Genesis 13, 5 through 7. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. There was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite which dwelled in the land. Well, Abraham, you've gone down into Egypt now. Instead of allowing God to take care of you during the famine, you've brought back servants, you brought back cattle, and now Lot has cattle, and you have cattle, and Lot has employees, and you have employees, and guess what? You can't get along. You can't get along because you made a decision to take him with you when God said to leave your kindred. Now, here comes another great test. What's he going to do about his nephew Lot that's with him? Well, first of all, he surrendered his rights. Abraham's the elder. Abraham has the ability to make the decisions. He could have sent Lot away, but he didn't. He said to Lot, "See, this land is before thee. Choose what you will. You decide where to go." I read this from John Wesley also. The man of faith can always allow a man of sight to take his choice without fear of losing. You can always allow a man of sight to make his choice without you losing. And that's what happened in this case. Abraham said, "Choose where you go." And Lot chose to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham stayed right there in the plains. Do you ever surrender your rights in the time of crisis? Abraham could have easily said, "I've got a right to do what I want to do. I've got a right to go where I want to go. I'm the boss." But he didn't. He was heartbroken over this problem, and he knew in his own heart he created it. He chose to take Lot with him. So he sought righteousness. Genesis chapter 13, verse 18. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron. And he built there an altar to the Lord. First, put God. Abraham put God first. He allowed Lot to choose in a time of crisis. Lot made the wrong choice. God left Abraham with the right choice. But this doesn't end the story. The story goes on. We're talking about a long period of Abraham's life. We're talking about a lifetime. How many times will you face a crisis in your lifetime, be it small or be it great? A crisis within your family, where families all around this country are breaking up today. A crisis in the sufficiency of you having enough. I believe with all my heart, if God wants you in this school, He'll get you through this school. Be it financially or be it your ability to study and understand. He will deliver you through His will. But you have to find His will and do it. Now something else comes up. Lot goes over to Sodom and Gomorrah and he gets him a nice house and he's got his cattle and he's a wealthy young man. And Abraham is there in Hebron and he's got an altar to the Lord and he's worshiping God. Listen to what happens in Genesis 14, verse 1 and 2. It came to pass in the days of Aphrael, the king of Shinar, Arioch, the king of Eleazar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and Beresh, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Samos, king of Zebulun, and the king of Bela, which is in Zoar. Well, word comes to Abraham. Abraham, your nephew Lot has been captured in a war. And under the rules of war, you can't take a man who's visiting in a city, but only a man who's made that his home. And now they've taken Lot and they've taken everything he's got, all of his wealth. Here's the crisis. Abraham's crisis with reference to forgiving and fighting. I want you to think this through. Abraham could have easily said, well, that's where he chose to go. He placed himself in that set of circumstances and that city has been defeated and they've carried him away captive. Not my problem. But God is testing the boldness of the faith of Abraham in this particular situation. Abraham knew in his heart that he brought Lot where he was. Abraham knew in his heart that Lot was his relative, though he wasn't living the way Abraham wanted him to live or the way God wanted him to live. What happened? Genesis chapter 14, verse 11. They took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals, and they went their way. They took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And they came out that one had escaped and told Abram, the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, the brother of Eshcol, the brother of Abner. And these were confederate of Abraham. Would he forgive Lot? Would he say, regardless of this past division between us and him having to dwell in one place and me having to go dwell in another place, can I forgive him enough to fight for him? Now, here are five kings. Here's a great army made by five kings. But what about Abraham? Genesis 14. When Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his house, 318. And he pursued these kings into Dan, and he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them to Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women and also all the people. I like this. I like this man getting his trained servants, 318, and carry them against a whole army. You say, well, wait a minute. That's a very small group to fight with the army of five kings. Sure is. But let me tell you another principle. You can't lose a battle when you're on God's side. God will deliver you. God delivered him. Abraham and his servants slew these criminals that had taken Sodom and Gomorrah and freed them and started back home. You say, boy, what a great story. How exciting. Oh, but that's not the end. There's more to this story. Next, we have Abraham's crisis with reference to his desire for fortune. This is the dignity of his faith. when he met the king of Sodom and Gomorrah on the way home from the battle with Lot. He met two kings, Bera, the king of Sodom, and another king called Melchizedek, which most theologians believe is a Christophany, the appearance of Jesus Christ. He's the king of Salem. Now watch this. One is the king of worldly pleasure, which is what Sodom was. The other is the king of worship and peace. And as he met these two kings, the king of Sodom said to him, "You have delivered my nation. You have brought back these people. You've brought back the goods. And the normal rule is that you get the booty from the war. So you take all that you want from what you're restoring to Sodom and Gomorrah." Think how easy it would have been for Abraham to say, "Wow, God told me he was going to make me successful. He told me that I'd become a great nation. He told me that I would have wealth." What a strange way to do it. He's given me the wealth of Sodom and Gomorrah. I have an opportunity to go back there and to be a strong leader in Sodom and Gomorrah. Here's the crisis. Would he take this from a heathen king? That's a crisis. If you'd been there, you'd know what a crisis that was. What an opportunity he had. But listen to what he did. Genesis 14, 22 and 23. "And Abram said unto the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shalt say, I have made Abraham rich." What's going to happen when you are in a crisis over your fortune? What will you do to get wealth and prestige? Most men in that crisis make bad decisions. Just look around this country you live in. Read the newspaper. Look at the stories of all those who have stolen and taken goods from others. I read one this past week of a man who was taking money from Christian school teachers and misappropriating. Think of the nation in which you live. Well, you've got a choice. You're going to find the same two kings. King of worldly pleasure that'll make you promises of fortune and pleasure, or the king of worship and peace. Which will you take? What do you really want? Do you want wealth and pleasure? Or do you want to understand worship and peace, the peace that passeth understanding? Praise God, Abraham made the right decision. We're not talking about something that happened all at once. We're walking through the pages of this man's life. But let me tell you something exciting about this great truth that God has a college of crisis. Every Bible character will match up to the same outline. You can go through the life of Joseph. You can go through the life of David. You can go through the life of Paul. A series of crises. And the decisions they make determine the direction they take and determines how they come out. I don't have time to really develop the last point. There's another big crisis, Abraham's crisis with reference to his faith and his family. Genesis chapter 22. After all this is done, God comes to Abraham and he says, "Take thine son, thine only son, Isaac, and offer him upon the altar that I will show thee." Now listen to this. Here's God with all these promises to Abraham. Here's Abraham, the father of our faith. And God says to him one morning, "Arise and take Isaac, your only son, and offer him as a sacrifice in a place that I'll show thee." I like what happened. Abraham got up early in the morning and started down the road with Lot. Don't you wonder what was going through his mind? "God, you've promised me to make a great nation out of me. And yet I have this one son left because Isaac," which was another of the great crises of his life, when he decided to take Hagar, the handmaid, and have Ishmael. I wish we had time to trace this. The war that's going on today between the Jewish community and the Palestinians is the same war. It's been going on for 4,000 years because of a bad choice made by Abraham in his pride. It affects people, not just you. It affects all those around you. Well, Abram got up early in the morning. He took Isaac, his only son. And as he asked God what would happen, the scripture says the Lord said to him, "God will provide himself a sacrifice." Did you read that in Genesis 22? God did provide himself a sacrifice. Jesus Christ was God. And he was sacrificed for me and for you and for everyone who accepted him. Abraham carried his son up that mountain, placed the wood on the fire, and placed Isaac on the altar, lifted the knife to slay him. And then God said, "Wait, I've reserved a sacrifice, a lamb caught in the thicket. Now you can take Isaac home. Now you're ready to be the father of the faith. Now I can bless all nations in you." And those of us who know Christ are blessed in the faith that Abraham showed in crisis after crisis after crisis. My young friends, follow this through the scripture. Follow this in all men's lives. I'm having a great time studying the crisis in the life of Peter and seeing the results of the decisions he makes. You're going to face crisis day in and day out in your life. And what you do in a time of crisis will determine how you come out with God, whether you are a winner or a loser. Well, you know this morning what your GPA is in God's College of Crisis. If you're failing, it's time for you to start studying a little bit. It's time for you to get serious about serving God and know the truth of this great book. And maybe somewhere there's a story written about you, as it tells us in the book of Malachi, where God keeps a record of those decisions we make in God's College of Crisis. Father, thank you for these wonderful stories, for the lessons they teach us. Help us to learn them and apply them to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
May each of us who know Christ pass the tests we face in the crises that God allows in our lives. Today's message was preached by the Executive Vice President Emeritus of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Wood. This is Charles Kelch for Bob Jones University, inviting you to join us next time for another message from the Chapel Platform on Chapel Echoes, an outreach ministry of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.